But first, I want to talk about, like, pizza. Like, how many people have grown up in, like, New Jersey Have grown up in New Jersey? You grew up in Italy?
No. No, pizza's
Italian. Right? And I feel like... Zion. No, but listen. I feel like people... Richie, I feel like people in New Jersey kind of have, like, a certain attitude about pizza. Like they've tasted this pizza that is kind of so good that it's kind of, like, transformed them. Okay? Yes. Because then when you go somewhere else and you're talking to someone about pizza, I feel like we all kind of have this, like, kind of, like, pizza complex maybe where we're like, oh, our pizza's better than your pizza, right? Like, if you go to, like, Minnesota and you're trying their pizza and you're from New Jersey, you're probably going to be like, oh, my pizza's better. Because, and maybe, right, Michelle, thank you. You know what? In a couple years, like when you guys are just getting older, you'll understand a little more, but just trust me, okay? Like the pizza you taste in New Jersey, like it transforms you and it starts to make you like a little more grouchy and judgmental and snobby and picky about pizza, okay? Because the pizza's so good. You can't just go to like a pizza place. Asher, that's because you lived in England. That's because you lived in England. What? Florida pizza? Like Domino's?
Wow.
I can't understand this.
But anyways, all right. Here's the thing. You might not agree, but pizza, New Jersey pizza, kind of transforms New Jersey pizza people. Okay. Last week was Easter, okay? This past weekend was Easter. Anyone remember that it was Easter? Anyone at church on Easter this past Sunday? Yeah. And in Easter, Richie.
All right, guys, Richie. Let's not be so physical. A pen fell.
It's okay. We can leave it.
I'm just going to sit right here. Well, let's just relax.
Awesome.
It's not David. It's him.
Richie, do you know what we celebrate on Easter?
The rise of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, his resurrection, right? Jesus died, and then he rose from the grave. And that's like what we celebrate on Easter. And that is probably like the most powerful moment just in Christianity, like in what we believe. Like Jesus was a man, and he died, and death, like thought, had conquered him and all this stuff. But then he defeats death. And he raises from the grave. And he's like, no, I'm alive. And actually, like, death is defeated. And it's Easter is all about our God who died but then rose from the grave, right? Nothing can hold our God down. Nothing can hold Jesus down. His power and glory and love is on full display. That's what Easter is about. And it's powerful. Like, if you really think about it and you really believe that Jesus died and then rose from the grave, like that's transformative. Just like I was talking about how New Jersey pizza transforms New Jersey people. Like if we really believe, but this is true. If you really believe that Jesus died and then rose again, that is going to transform your life. You can't ignore it. That transforms your life. And there's this guy named Peter in the Bible, and maybe you know him from different stories. And it transformed everything for Peter. For Peter's life, okay? Peter, if you know anything about him, Peter denied Jesus. He said, no, I don't know who that guy is, because he was scared, okay? And he ran away, and he was by himself, and he cut himself off from the disciples, probably, and he was, like, in all this shame, and he probably felt really bad, but also scared, and he denied Jesus, who he followed for a long time, who he ate with Jesus, and he called Jesus his friend, and Jesus called him his friend, and he like lived in the same place Jesus lived. He traveled with him. And then when it really counts, Peter denied Jesus, right? But then Jesus, if you're at church this past Sunday, Jesus rises from the grave and he actually appears to Peter after he's resurrected. He appears to Peter and he says, Peter, you're my friend. Look, I'm alive. I'm alive and it's okay. You're my friend still. Right, and that transforms everything for Peter. The resurrection of Jesus and Peter actually confronting the resurrected Jesus who is alive changes everything for Peter. Transforms his life. Peter's transformed by Jesus and his power and his love and his resurrection because Peter has seen the real living Jesus. And then Peter actually goes out and he preaches about this in Acts. in this book of Acts. We're taking a break from Genesis for just this week because we're talking about, we didn't talk about Easter last week, so it's even better to talk about it this week because we're going to talk about if the resurrection changed everything for Peter, and we're going to see how it does, the resurrection will change everything for us if we believe it. Yes, Richie?
Where does the name Easter come from?
Oh my gosh, Richie. Oh, wow. I have three bachelors, two masters, a couple of doctorates, and I don't know the answer to that question. But I can look into it.
Dr. Google.
Yes, I'll ask Dr. Google. I'll look it up and maybe I'll tell you next week, okay?
That's a
great question, though.
What do eggs and candy have to do with this?
Eggs and, that's another great question. And I don't know where eggs and candy started. I don't know. Jelly beans, I have no idea where jelly beans started.
No, why do we use eggs and candy for something like this?
Sebastian, I have no idea why eggs and candy. I have guesses, but I can look that up too.
Yeah, why is there a bunny?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, why?
Why? Guys, come to YouTube next week because I'm gonna have a whole presentation on the Easter and the history. Okay. Oh no, probably not. But I'll try to answer some of your questions.
I would assume that the egg probably is just a rebirth, right?
This is too much to handle.
Oh, it's okay. Don't worry.
It's okay. I mean, don't worry. It's a lot to handle.
But listen to this. We're not going to, it won't be that complicated because we're just going to talk about how Peter is transformed by the resurrection of Jesus. And what, this is what Peter says in Acts, okay? It's going to be kind of long, but listen to what Peter says after he encounters the real living Jesus who's alive. This is probably a month later maybe. And Peter is standing in this big city and there's all these people around. And Peter gets up and then this is what he says, okay? Peter, standing with the 11 disciples, he lifted up his voice and addressed them. He addresses the disciples, but also the whole crowd that is there in this city of Jerusalem. And he says this, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." You don't have context for that, but before this, the Holy Spirit came down on all these people, on all these Christians in Jerusalem, and they're all speaking different languages and saying different things, and different people could understand them. And so people were looking at them, and they were like, "Whoa, are those people drunk? Like, are they? They're kind of out of their mind." But Peter's like, "No, they're not out of their mind. They're not under the influence of anything. They're just the Holy Spirit is on them, and the power of God." And then Peter says this, "This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up from the dead, loosing the pangs of death. Jesus defeated death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning Jesus, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witness. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And then just a little bit longer. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when the people in the city heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And if you remember in Genesis, that's the promise that God made to Abraham, right? He says his promise is for you and your children and all who are far off. And then Peter says this, and with many other words, Peter bore witness and continued to exhort them and encourage them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And then it ends with this. So those who received Peter's word, or really God's word, were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Let me pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that we get to read stories of people who were transformed by encounters with you. Not just encounters with you while you stood on the earth before your death, but also after you resurrected from the dead. We get to read about Peter who came, who saw you die and was scared and ashamed because he denied you, but then you came and appeared to him after you resurrected. And you appeared to him and you reminded him that you love him. And he was transformed by that. And he couldn't help but tell others about it. We thank you for these stories, but we also ask that you would make this true for us, that we would encounter the real living Jesus, even right now, and that would transform our lives. We thank you for your love for us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Peter, I know that was a long passage, right? Sebastian, we'll talk after, okay, with a lot of questions, because I already have a lot of questions, too. So, okay, remember it, okay? Thank you. In this passage, there's a lot of words, right? But the main thing is that Peter is transformed after he comes into contact with the living, resurrected Jesus, right? He's transformed by Jesus in his resurrection, right? Peter, who was ashamed and afraid and lonely all by himself after he denied Jesus, now he's standing in the midst of thousands of people, and he's preaching about the goodness of Jesus. He's preaching about how good Jesus is and the life that Jesus offers, right? Peter no longer like cowers in fear and is hiding and says, "I don't know who Jesus is," but he says, "I know who Jesus is, and I want you to know who Jesus is too." Like, what a transformation that is for Peter, right? Isn't that crazy? He boldly proclaims to like thousands of people the life of Jesus. And that's how Peter is transformed by the resurrection, right? He goes from shame and fear to courage and boldness and actually desiring life for others and goodness for others. And, you know, like a lot of time when we think about Easter, we all like Easter, right? Maybe you have like traditions on Easter. You open eggs, right, with candy inside. Like there's all these great traditions on Easter. And also, like maybe on Easter, on social media, you posted like a really cute thing that says like "He is risen" or something, right? Like we all like these good messages and these amazing things. But really what Easter is all about and really what we all need from Easter is we need to come to know the living Jesus, who is actually alive right now. It's not just about good messages and family time and all these things, but really Easter is about making sure that we know that Jesus is alive right now with us. He's not dead, but he's alive with us, and we can know him. That's what Easter is about. And so as we just talk for a few minutes, think about this question, okay? How has your life been transformed by Jesus's resurrection? How has your life been transformed by Jesus and him defeating death? How has your life been transformed by that? Has it, right? I can remember actually a significant moment in my life, multiple significant moments in my life where this like was a reality to me, where it wasn't just like a message that I knew or something that like I knew in my head but didn't really like believe or like take hold of in my heart, where Jesus actually transformed me. One was at the Great Escape at our winter camp when I was in sixth grade. I remember, I've shared this before, but I remember sitting there in some pews or some chairs, and it was like the first night, and nothing like really amazing happened, but people were just singing, and it just became like apparent to me that I grew up in the church my whole life. Yes, Damien.
Wait, who was singing for Theo back then?
Back then we had volunteers, like the Kims. Do you know Brian and G Kim? They helped out a lot. Yeah, when I was like in sixth grade. And I was sitting there, and nothing really, like, crazy happened, but I just remember being like, no, this is, like, actually real. Like, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And the rest of that weekend, as I, like, sang songs, and I talked to others, and we listened to the messages, and just got to be there, it just became more and more real to me that Jesus is alive, and he wants to know me. And that transformed my life. Like, when I came back from that camp, When I came back on Sunday afternoon, you know, when you're tired and you're like, I have to go to school tomorrow, I was like, how can I? I remember standing there in my kitchen and being like, how can I serve my parents better right now? Like, I was like thinking, like, literally in the moment, I was like, there's dirty dishes. I remember this. I was like, there's dirty dishes in the sink. Like, should I just go clean those? And that's such a little thing, right? But there's something that happened that weekend where it was like, I would have never thought that before, like, consciously. Like, how can I serve my parents? How can I love those around me? And then right there sitting in front of me are these dirty dishes. And I'm like, oh, I can do that by washing these dishes, right? Simple things like that. But it didn't just transform that. But also, I was excited to go to school the next day because I wanted to start telling my friends about this. I wanted to go to school and be like, hey, I just went to this awesome camp and like something changed with me where in Jesus, like, is like did this transformation. I don't know exactly what it is, but like, I think Jesus is really important and he wants to know us and to love us. And I wanted to go to school and I started inviting like friends over to my house every week for a Bible study because I thought it was that important. And not just for a Bible study, but to talk about these things, to talk about like what Jesus and why he matters for us. I was transformed by Jesus, by knowing that he is alive, not just knowing that he's somewhere that I come on Sunday to recite these prayers and sing these songs, but actually he's alive all the time and he's with me all the time. And I don't, and also as I went to school, I also remember like really caring about like the outcasts a little bit more, like the new kids at school who didn't have a lot of friends, or the kids who kind of just sat by themselves. And I remember I really, as I went to school, even through high school, I really was able to like see those students more and approach them and be like, hey, tell me about yourself. I remember this one time in seventh grade, it was like the first day of school. And there was this new kid. We were all in like the gymnasium for like a first day of school assembly kind of. And there's a kid sitting in the bleachers who I didn't recognize, sitting all by himself. And I walked up to him, and because I didn't recognize him, and I sat next to him and I just started talking to him because he was a new kid. And from that, like, I got to know him, and his name was Devin. And I learned that he loved drawing maps of places. He like drew a map of our town. And I still remember that. But like, that's not because I wanted to be a good person or because I was trying to, I don't know, because I didn't really have friends or something, but it was because I was transformed by Jesus. And like that actually practically made changes in my life. And I can think of like countless other ways that knowing Jesus and the living Jesus has transformed my life. So many other ways. I can look back at my life and be like, Jesus has really transformed my life in real practical ways. And I can't always like look back like yesterday and be like, oh, but like in a couple of years from now, I'll be like, oh, when I was 24, Jesus was working this way in my life and knowing him.
You are 24.
I'm 24. Yeah. So maybe when I'm like 25 or 26, 27, I'll be like, oh, when I was 24, you know, a lot of it's like looking back, but this is the point. Okay. This is the point. You can't meet the living Jesus and not be transformed. You can't meet the living Jesus and not be transformed by that, right? Jesus, who has overcome death, okay, risen from the grave, you can't meet this Jesus and not be transformed. So this is my question for you tonight, okay? I'll ask it to you again. How has the risen Jesus transformed your life? Or has he? How has the risen Jesus transformed your life? All right. Let's pray, and then we'll go downstairs, and I think Michelle brought some cupcakes. Yeah, all right. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we don't follow a God who doesn't care about knowing us, but you desire to know us, to know every part of us, and love us. We thank you that you don't let death hold you down. There's nothing that can hold you down. No pain or shame or even death. There's nothing in us or in this world that can hold you down, but you rose from the grave and you triumph over it all. Help us to meet you right now. Help us to meet you even as we're just eating cupcakes or in these next few moments. Make yourself real and apparent to us even tonight as we go home. And we ask that you would transform us. Transform us to become more like Jesus in his death and in his life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.